Want to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time? Hallelujah. I really have an important message for the church for tonight. Please, please come right now. I'd like to keep the screen down, Brother Sabatic. I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Apparently there were some who forsook the house of God, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. And then if you turn to the book of Lamentations, I'm sure it's a book that you read almost every day. Third chapter, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassion and his mercy is renewed when? Every morning. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing, your touch. God, let the power of God continue to move in this place. We're just so grateful. Amen. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This scripture in Lamentation is such a great scripture. God's mercy and compassion are new every morning. Sometimes we look at our shortcomings and wonder how God could give us another chance. I felt that way so many times. God, I'm feeling your presence. I see the blessings in my life, but God, do I deserve it? The word mercies and compassions are plural, which means there are more than one instance. God is willing to give us multiple chances within even a single day. And when we get to the place where we know I have disappointed God, we're thinking, he's crossed me off his list. There is no more mercy that's available to me. Even over the same issues in the same day. Amen. And the enemy camps at our doorsteps and say, that's it. It's over. God offers us, as long as we have breath, an opportunity to start over every day. If you feel that you have used up all of God's mercy and forgiveness, know that there is a fresh batch waiting for you at the altar, wherever that altar would be. Now, this isn't a license to sin and then repent. It's not, okay, I know I'm going to do, if we willfully sin after we come to the knowledge of grace and truth, then there isn't any more sacrifice. It doesn't mean that God isn't going to forgive us, but what God is saying is, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to pay a penalty. So if you'll turn to Romans, the 6th chapter. Verse number 1, Paul's saying to the church at Rome, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Glory to God. We have a God of mercy, and we have a God of compassion. It's beyond our comprehension. It's just hard for us to believe that God would give us a fresh start, even when we don't deserve to have a fresh start. See, we try to equate God to what man does. And we can't, because he's not like anybody. He's not like the best person on the face of the earth. Take a look at Revelation, the 21st chapter. Second last chapter in the book of the Bible. 21 and starting in verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody want a makeover? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, behold, I make all things new. This word new in the Greek means to be fresh again. On this first Sunday in 2018, Jesus is here to bring freshness to each and every one of us. Not just a makeover, not just a perfume cover-up, but a new beginning and a fresh start for those who want a fresh start. If you don't want a fresh start, God's saying, okay, take it on your own. How many of you would really like to have a fresh start this Sunday, a brand new beginning? Jesus is in the house, and he said he makes all things new. Some of you have been very thankful for this past year, even though you've had some major struggles, and I could call out your name. Sister Dombeck would be one of them. She just said it. She just sang it, and it has caused me to admire you and your walk with God. It really has blessed me when I've seen people go through struggles and still they're faithful to God. They didn't use it as an excuse. I know we all have regrets and we all have failures, but it's not what has happened to us, but what do we do with them that impresses God, you see. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His mercies and compassion are new every morning. So if we confess our failures, God is faithful to forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then behold, he makes all things new, fresh, a fresh start. The key to a new year is a fresh start. And it's confessing and acknowledging our failures. And in 1 John 1, it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." I think there are more people who walk away from God because they don't have the joy of God anymore. And the reason they don't have the joy of God is because they haven't confessed something that's going on in their life. Such a little thing, that your joy may be full. David had his share of failures, but God called him a man after his own heart. Most every one of us have never gone to the place that David went. And yet we could be a person after God's own heart because David acknowledged his sin. That was the whole key. I acknowledge there's something wrong. We can't get the fresh start until we acknowledge that we've had some failures in our life. God, I'm sorry. Some commission, some omission, if you will. Would you turn to Psalms 32? Psalms 32 and verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all of the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, God wants us to have joy. God wants us to have peace. But there could be this just little thing in our life that we haven't asked God for forgiveness for. Hallelujah. And he wants us to be closer this year than we were last year. We're talking about a fresh start. Amen. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You ought to write it down in your Bible. Notice it's not just confessing, but it's also forsaking. Would you turn to James? We're using a lot of scripture this morning, James, the 5th chapter. Very familiar scripture. Chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, could it be that confessing has something to do with our healing? You see. Amen. I've had people just this year say, you know, I prayed for somebody else and God healed me. I really believe there's something about praying for somebody else that is a benefit to us. 1 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A regenerated individual. A fresh start, if you will. But not just a fresh start when we were baptized and filled with the Spirit, but a fresh start every morning, a fresh start every service. So we have in God's Word the formula. The formula for fellowship with God, that our joy may be full, that we might become new creatures in Christ, a refreshed individual, and that all things become new. So why would anyone not take advantage of God's mercy and amnesty that didn't deserve it? And we don't deserve it, but God's saying, come on. David explains why a lot of people never come to God for forgiveness. It's because they still remember their own sins. And you can wake up every morning with a thought of something that happened in the past, and then all of a sudden you feel like, God, I don't even deserve to call on your name. I can't even pick up your book because I remember what has happened to me. And that's a tool of the enemy trying to say, you're not worthy. There's condemnation in your life. And if they remember, they don't feel God could ever forget and forgive. Amen. So let's turn to Psalms 51. Psalms chapter 51, and this is the famous repentance of David. And we're just going to look at the first four verses. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now David knew about this scripture in Lamentations. David knew about the mercy and the compassion of God. He knew what was written down. And now he's saying, I want to apply this to my life because I've been found out. Nathan said, thou art the man. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. See, the problem is I remember. You know, the psychiatrist or the psychologist will say, we got to get back to your childhood. We got to find out what the source of the problem is. We got to blame it on somebody else, you know, for your faults, your life. And God's saying, no. Just why don't you lay it on me? Just confess your faults and I'll take care of them. You can have a pure conscience from there on. And then Paul talks about it in Philippians, the third chapter. Starting in verse number 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he's saying there's one thing I'm working on, and I'm trying to forget all of the things. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Yet I'm trying, God, to forget my past and reaching forward to the prize. There may be someone here that feels like it's just too late. Too many failures, too many regrets. It's just no use. There is that look, you know. It's too late. The rolling of the eyes, the shaking of the head, like, I know what you're saying, Pastor, but you don't know who I am. You don't know what I have done. You don't know the thoughts that I've had this week. The couple that are in the last stages of divorce. I've been counseling with a couple for the last week, and You know, they each say that they love each other, but they're not willing in order to put it together. And finally, I got a text yesterday, and it said, it's over. I've done everything I can, and now I can't put it back together. You don't understand. You don't know my God. You don't know the mercies and the compassion that God has, that he wants to put something that seems to be impossible back together. The father and son that haven't talked to each other for 5 years because of a stupid little incident that's happened. And so they give up on the relationship that's so important. It's like the enemy wants to give up on the relationship that we have with our father. That man who spent years working for just one company and now they're going under. And now what do I do? Where do I go at this age? Too late to save a marriage, too late to reconcile, too late for a new career, too late for a ministry that I thought I was going to have but I don't have. It's never too late because God makes everything new. Amen. A fresh marriage, a reconciliation of family and friends, better careers with more money. It's not too late for a new ministry. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity. It's a new morning. Because with Jesus, all things are new. God told me something 35 years ago. That hasn't happened in my life. And every once in a while, I go back to it, and I'm thinking, did I not hear you right, God? Is it too late? Now, if God has told you something, the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. Take a look at Luke, the 5th chapter. Verse number 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. There were so many people that he had to back up a little, get away from the throng of the people in order to teach them. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, this is Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know, it's too late. You don't understand. I've tried, and I have tried. It's just too late. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them, that they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Wouldn't it be great? We have been talking about revival. We've been talking about Bible studies. We've been talking about witnessing to people. And frankly, folks, it just hasn't happened. We've toiled. I have prayed. I have fasted. I don't understand. We built a new church, and we have sacrificed for a building that is so unique and beautiful in all of Pentecost. Wouldn't it be great that there were so many people that we'd have to call other churches and say, I'm sorry, we just don't have the capacity. Could you take some of these people who need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost? And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So the crowd presses in, and Jesus asks them to cast out a little bit so he can teach them without the crowd all around him. And when Jesus is finished teaching, he asks them to launch out a little deeper. Let's do a little fishing. I can see Peter running his fingers through his hair thinking, man, I don't want to do this. I've done it all night. Under his breath, perhaps saying, it's too late. I know these waters. I know what I've been doing. Nevertheless, at thy word. How many Bible studies, how many preachings have you heard? And perhaps you go through the motions thinking, okay, I'll do it. I know what he said, you know. Could these thoughts have gone through his mind? What does a carpenter turned rabbi know about fishing? I'm tired. I want a meal. I want a bed. I already feel like I'm a loser. And everybody around me has saw that my nets are empty. Have you ever felt that way? Like, God, I tried it. Pastor, I've tried it, but it's not working. I've talked to everybody at work. I just want a bed and a meal. Tired of all of our efforts. But what we need is something fresh. Amen. A fresh marriage, better job, reconciliation that we never thought would be possible. To be able to teach that Bible study and feel the joy there is in bringing somebody into the church that has never experienced what we experience every week. Everybody is looking at me, well, I feel like such a loser. It's just never worked like it has for somebody else. And then Jesus says, launch out a little deeper and let your nets down. We hear the preaching all the time, perhaps. Do what we hear. Not much passion in those words. We know who's in the church. We know that Jesus is here. We feel his presence, but sometimes we just don't see the results. You might think Peter would say, yes, Jesus is in the boat. Hallelujah, mama, warm up the oven. But you know, the flesh says, hey, I don't know how this could happen. You know, I've been praying that same prayer for years and years, and it's just maybe we ought to launch out into the deep and say, okay, Jesus, you're in the boat with me. I want to believe, but it hasn't worked in the past. But what about 2018? Could this be the year? I mean, if Jesus is coming this year or next year or even in the next 5 years, do you think he wants to use us in that capacity in order to fill the boat, fill the nets, get people ready for eternity? Why the deep water? Could Jesus be doing with Peter what parents do for their kids? You know, at Easter time, they hide eggs all over the house, you know, for the little kids. And they go scrambling all over looking for the eggs. And they still haven't found them all. And, hey, look behind the red chair. Whoa, there behind the red chair is the eggs. You know, it's easy to find something when you know where you put it. Finding fish is so simple for Jesus. Because he's the one who made them. Finding sinners isn't a real problem if God knows where they're at and he will direct us to a deeper place for us. As Peter throws his net into the water, thinking this is just a waste of time, Jesus is looking for the expression on his face when he knows that the nets are full. Greater catch than he has ever had in his entire life. At that moment, Jesus wasn't the fish finder. He wasn't the rabbi, but he became Lord. That's the key. When God heals us and miraculously provides for us and answers prayer for us, he's not just the one who answers the prayer, but he is your Lord. Peter fell face down in the middle of the fish and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." When you see God as God, you recognize your own condition. But Jesus had no intention of honoring his request. Jesus doesn't abandon self-confessed people. Quite the contrary, he enlists them into something. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Most of God's recruiting is among the beat up and the worn out. You know, when you finally get to the place, when you finally get to the places, this just has not worked for me. God, can you sign me up for your program? And then all of a sudden, the things that you've always wanted, the things that you've been working for and asking for, suddenly appear. My God has been known to climb into boats, into bar rooms, into bedrooms, to recruit, because it's not too late for a fresh start. Two short years later, Peter had a major failure. Two short years. The one who confessed Christ in the boat cursed God at the fire. I can only imagine what Friday night was like for Peter. What a failure I am. It's just too late for me. Now, not only did I fail Jesus, everybody knew that I was a failure. But then Sunday morning came. I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know what your year has been like. But then, it's Sunday morning. And God's mercies and compassion are fresh every morning. I believe that Peter knew Jesus is risen. Mary told him, but he didn't come back for him. So Peter went back to his boat. I've tried this Pentecostal thing for a while. I had some success, but you know, lately it's just been a chore just to get to church. He came out of retirement to the same boat, to the same beach, to the same nets. And when we don't feel that God is going to do what we wanted him to do, we go right back to where God found us. Peter fished all night, and guess what? He caught absolutely nothing. Seems like we're going back to the same routine. You know, it just doesn't seem to be working. Have you seen people who have left the boat and looked at them? Are they better off? Would you turn to John 21? Starting in verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto him, "I go fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." You know, you always take somebody with you when you backslide. Have you noticed those who, they're always, "Hell, I'm so free now. It's just so wonderful." We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nada, nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You know, one of the first things that happen when people backslide is they don't even know Jesus is in the building. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answer him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. In other words, he didn't have a full covering on. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with fish. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples thrust asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love God more than the house, more than the job, more than the spouse, more than the hobbies? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. See, here's the difference. There's two different loves here. And when Jesus said, do you love me? It was the word agape love or a sacrificial love. Whatever it takes, I love you. The same love you have for your spouse, for your children. But Peter says, yeah, I love you. And that love is filial, or I'm your friend. See, God's not looking for a friend. He's not looking for somebody who's going to show up every once in a while and say, love ya, love ya. No, he is looking for somebody who is devoted to him and says, whatever you want, God, you just tell me what you want, God, that's what I want. Because eternity is at stake here. Jesus didn't give up on Peter, even though Peter gave up on himself. And that could be where somebody is this morning. We give up on ourselves, but surely God hasn't given up on us. Amen. Because it's not too late to have a fresh start. Amen. It's just not. Amen. I don't know where you are this morning. Jesus knows exactly where you are this morning, what's been going on in 2017. where you are ranking with him. Would you let him in your boat this morning? Would you go a little deeper with God this morning, this year? We have the same God who turned his back on an entire crowd just to minister to one individual. Amen. And that's what God will do. He'll do anything and everything it takes in order to reconcile and give you fresh mercy and compassion in your life. That's what he wants to do in 2018. I don't want to disappoint him. I try my very best, but there's some things that perhaps I could do better. And I don't know how much time we have left. It's not just the rapture we're racing against, but it's our own demise. And nobody knows what they have for tomorrow. But today is a day of salvation. Today is the time. God has his open arms. He has a hiding place for each and every one of us. A place of blessing. A place of comfort. A place that is full of joy. He wants us to be content in this life more than you could possibly imagine. Amen. I love him. This church loves him. We just need to demonstrate more how much we really love him. Not as a friend, but agape love. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Let this be a fresh start. Don't let anything cause you to feel condemnation. It's too late, gone too far, too many failures. His mercy and his compassion is fresh every morning. It's a new day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't care if you've been around this thing for 50 years or 5 minutes. Our God wants to bless. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?